Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's Friday night, 11/17/2023. And the rumors of my demise are, you know, not quite there yet, let me tell you. Because I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you there's power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. And I've been extremely ill. I have a very bad lung cancer, which is over the trachea and into the lower left lung. And then it's also starting to move around a little bit in the body. So it's a stage four. But I'll tell you what, I felt all your prayers. I've been in the hospital, but I had to get out of there to get home in case the Lord wanted to take me home, which I don't know if he does or he does not. But your prayers for me, I've been feeling them, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. And I know Steve has said, I haven't been on computers. I haven't been able to. I'm not able to really walk real well. I'm in a wheelchair, and I need a little assistance from my nice, loving wife. So I'm just telling you the truth while I got it right now. And then I've got a surprise for you. But the truth right now is that I don't know how much longer I'm going to be on or if I'll be on again, but I think I'm going to try to, because I'm going to try to keep doing what Brother Steve Quayle and the Lord Jesus told him to put me on the air, and he did. But let me just say this. I don't know what the time is or anything of it, but I'll sure really try. And then just to let you know that you have been so appreciated, because I can feel your prayers. Anyway, I'm going to go right now to my good friend and the person who put me on the air. And we started out years and years ago on a particular book of the Bible. Brother Steve Quayle is live with me tonight. Steve?
Well, Hawk, this is a very unusual, not only set of circumstances with your health, but also a very unusual time. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when Hawk took over my daily program, and then he went to 2 days a week, because it really does take its toll on you, we've talked, and I'm going to have Hawk share with you the very first thing that I said, Hawk, give me a view of what you see going on. It is so prophetic, and it's just the goodness of God that we've gone full circle now. So, Hawk, I want you to explain what I asked you to cover and what you did that day, because we're in here, brother, until Jesus calls you home, and that's in his time, and you know you're carrying basically an e-ticket out of here very soon, if God doesn't grant you a miracle. But share on Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the whole history. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Hawk was the only one that could follow me when I was so all over the place. And it was God's hand that brought him on the air. So go ahead, Hawk.
I'll tell you what, we came on June 14th, 2019. That's a long time ago, brother. Well, no. No, it
not 2019.
No. No, it was June 14th, 2004. Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
Well, you brought me on and as a guest, and then we went to chapter 38 of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all that army, and horsemen, and all of them gathered with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, which I believe are tanks, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, amongst them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer, and all of his bands, and the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. And oh, I'll tell you what, if you go down and follow that, but then go to verse 10, and it says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of the unwalled villages. And when I go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, and all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And Brother Quayle, we've always talked about that. That's America right there, brother. That's the central part of the United States.
Yep, and I think, Hawk, too, that people have got to understand there's a map, and, you know, obviously because we're only audio, but there's a map that lays out those specific, like, for instance, Magog and Torgama.
Yeah.
And all of those names are absolutely specified. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, all those names that Hawk is referring to in Ezekiel are in the mode to make war and to come against Israel, especially yep. Meshach, Gog, and Magog. And so, Hawk, when you were on with me 19 years ago, you were, in essence, I asked you to go around the world, did I not?
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah.
And sure, I went to every hot spot.
Yep, the hot spots. But this was one of the main points back then that most people were trying to by the way, you know, since you've been in the hospital and stuff, a lot of people are trying to dismiss this, that this is the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And just because you didn't have access to a computer, now Egypt is making demands that Israel go to a two-state solution. And
why don't you tell everybody about that real quick, okay?
Yeah, I will. And so what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting that Hawk's first, you know, I would say this, the first time he was on my program, and now I'm the, you know, this could be, and look, he said it, and Hawk and I both know this, that this could be the last time we're on together. And so yeah. I cherish your prayers for Hawk. I'm telling you to keep praying, but I before we get into the whole Ezekiel 38, I want you to share, you know, your hospital experience. Obviously, you don't need to go into the behind-the-curtain situation, but the bottom line is just what made your decision that, number one, they're doing heroic efforts to save your life. Number two, your cancer is spreading pretty much systemically now.
Yeah.
So, and so share your attitude, because, Hawk, I got to tell you something. You have the best attitude of anybody I know who's facing eternity at any single minute, any single hour. And your life, outside of a miracle from living God, is measured in days and weeks. So share kind of what your experience has been in the hospital, and just, again, where you're at in your head and your heart.
All right. Well, first of all, and this is the best thing I can tell everybody, if you're with the Lord Jesus and he's with you, you do not have to be afraid at all of passing away or dying, because you're going to go to heaven to be with him. And that's the beauty of it. And I have seen Jesus again in and listened to him in while I was in the hospital. And the thing is, I have an excellent doctor. We're doing chemo. I asked him, how long will I live if I don't do anything? He said 3.5, maybe 5 weeks. I want to spend more time with my wife, who has been a love me all through all this 19 years too, and longer. I wanted to be with her, and I want to be with her, realistically, I said, through Christmas holidays. That would sure be nice. He said, I think we can do that. So I took the chemo, and I normally would not have thought about that, but I took it because this man was one of the most brilliant doctors I've ever known. I mean, one of the smartest guys I've ever known. And so I went ahead and did it. And boy, is it rough. And some of you have had it out there and this thing is hitting me like nuts. I mean, I'm knocked sideways and backways and fourways. But I know exactly where I'm going. I've been talking with my wife and anybody about it and telling them, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my viewpoint on it. I'm not afraid because I'm with the Lord Jesus. And if you're out there, if you're with him, you don't have to be afraid at all because there's power in the blood of Jesus. Steve, take it for a second here. I'm just going to breathe.
Sure. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, the doctors are doing heroic efforts to keep Hawk alive. But what is so transformative to me is Hawk is living his life even as whatever the closing chapter or the closing paragraphs of his life. And all I can tell you is you've got a man that has been praying for people, praying for miracles, medical miracles for people, literally on the air for 19 years. And I was trying to do the quick and, you know, math in my head, but if you take 19 years and you do 104 a year, I mean, you know, quick and dirty, that's almost like 2,380 shows. But Hawk, I want to thank you on behalf of the Lord. Most people don't know this. You were as wild as a hare. I was wild as a hare. And God took us both, tamed us, forgave us, cleaned us with his blood, and then
as long as we repent every week, right?
Yeah. We have a lot to repent for, but what is so wonderful, you and I can look back on our friendship over the decades, and we can also look back and see just the marvelous hand of the Lord Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, when I was praying for Hawk last night, I was reminding the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't listen to much radio or talk radio, believe it or not, I just don't have the time. But I said, I know for a fact that most people are too frightened, scared to stand up for Jesus. And I said, Lord, you have always taught me, meaning SQ, and talk is living, exhorting proof of that, that not only is there power in the blood of Jesus, but even through the years that we are on together, and this is no exaggeration, I believe all liars go to hell, we had multiple threats against our life, actual not only threats, but operations against us.
Yes.
And Hawk, you know, again, I want to thank you because I was praising and praising God, praying to God and praising him. Because, brother, you have stayed true to the name of Jesus. You have stayed true to the blood of Jesus. And you are not a meow man. I was thinking today, I said, Lord, if I was with Hawk right now, I'd buy him the biggest steak, whether it's medically right or wrong. Look, right. That's not the point. But in essence, we wouldn't sit down together, lap milk like a kitten, and we certainly wouldn't have meow mix or, you know, whatever kibbles and bits, okay?
And we'd probably be armed with firearms, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'd be pulling an Indiana, maybe Indiana Jones, but more likely Paul Hogan, you know, in now that's a knife, you know, because a lot of people... You know, we pull, but here's the thing. What I mean by that is that by the grace of God, I'm praying for every man that's ever listened to you. I'm serious in this. That's ever hearing you now, that is seeing the way the righteous die. And brother, you know, if I could keep you, and I'm praying for miracles, but I know this. I know that I've gotten the scripture, and I can't get away from it. You know, you're God's. I mean, he's your heavenly father. Jesus is your savior. But the point is that, you know, he taketh the righteous to spare him from the evil that has come. And I said to the Lord last night, I want everybody to, this is an open book thing. Lord, Hawk has fought the good fight. And most people don't even know the stuff that's gone on. We tried to share, you know this. And by the grace of God, we've had certain birds that defecate in their own nest that just couldn't lay off that, you know, and you went through literal, how do I say this, life and death situations in real time. Is that not an accurate statement?
That's an accurate. I remember when I was on early on in the years, I was talking to you on the phone. I was on my patio And all of a sudden, I kind of looked out the corner of my eye, and I heard the crack of a rifle. I hit the deck while I was talking to you on the phone, and the rifle shot went right past my head. And then what's amazing is, back then, we had the MMV, who were sort of overlooking us a little bit, all right, yep. with their up in space or up in helicopters and stuff. And they hit the guy that hit shot at me, and it went kaboom, and they laid some kind of a thing on him, and there was not any grease spot left where that hit. Now, that's just one night. Then Brother Quail, he had him right down the hill from him, the jihadi boys, asking where he lived up the hill at the gas station. And you had all kind of people. You had another guy, we're not going to name his name, who was down in the back alley by your with gun ready to be drawn to shoot you in the back alley behind your business. And then, I mean, there's been a whole lot of times, but I also had a Chinese guy at my door at 2:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I went to the door. I took my Glockenspiel with me, the old Glockenspiel, you know. And Jesus said, I was peeking out of the corner of the window. He said, don't look at his eyes, look at his hand. And in his hand was a cell phone, and he was holding it weird, like he was going to use it for a 500,000-volt shock to my neck or to squeeze a button and shoot me with a 22. So I yelled out through the door, either get off my porch or I'm going to ventilate you through the bleeping door, I believe the word is now, the bleeping door.
Yeah, that's the bleeping door.
All right. And that guy who had $1,000 shoes on and a $2,000 English sport coat, and who was, but he was talking like a sing song China, like, please, mister, help me. Please help me. And he jumped 10 feet off that porch and started running down the street. I grabbed a driver. I grabbed a rifle, baby. And I went out behind the concrete blocks in the front or the brick wall in the front. And I had him in my sights all the way down to the cul-de-sac. He went down to a black SUV that had a guy in the driver's seat. The car was running, but the lights were off, and I could see the guy smoking a cigarette. That Chinese guy went to the driver's window, said something to him, then ran around the back, got into the other seat. They started to come up the hill, up the cul-de-sac, and that guy hit the nitrous on that big Tahoe or whatever it was, man. It was a federal car or a CIA or whoever, and they punched that thing. By the time they got up the hill, they were doing 75, 80 mile an hour. And I tracked him with my rifle all the dadgum way. And that guy looked out. He was scared I was going to shoot him. And then I went on the next week and told everybody about that on air. Now, you tell a story about your own deal, Stephen.
Well, yeah, and this is something I don't think people understand. First of all, the MMV is what we named them, Hawk and I, Mighty Men of Valor, Black Ops, Ultra Black Ops. People were always taking shots at us, but the MMV saved my life, saved Hawk's life. The head of it, four-star general, one of the bravest men I've ever known. And they would even, there were times I would be on my broadcast and they would break in through a certain code system we have and say, you know, tell Hawk to stay out of his backyard. That was another time, okay?
Yeah.
And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, multiple cases of my own case, I mean, they literally took out groups of people. I literally owe my life to one of the MMV lady operators. A lady operator doesn't answer the phone. Right. The general that you and I both know, Hawk, made the statement, a woman can get closer to any man than a man could ever. And when I heard that what this beautiful sister in the Lord did to save my life, I was astonished. And there was a newspaper story that was a cover-up because there was a whole lot of bad dudes coming in to take me out. And, yeah. You know, all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Through it all, we both know that we got to stand before Jesus and give an account. And that liars go into the lake of fire, and people don't want to have front row seats to that, although most of them are choosing that, especially in the globalist Luciferian world. And for the record, Hawk was the first guy to name them Lucy's. And for the record, you know, now people are starting Hawk to even repeat that term because it was the path that God had placed you on. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm privileged and I'm honored to have Hawk as my brother. And Hawk and I knew one thing. We would be back to back, but our guns would always be pointed out. And in this day and age, we watched 20 years of betrayal. You know, I went through it. Hawk went through it. We watched every form of bird nest dumpings. How's that? Yeah. Bird nest dumpings. Yet God gave Hawk his message. He stayed on point. He got me back on point. And now, you know, it's how do I say this? It's with a sadness, but a gladness in my heart, Hawk, because I told Hawk when he was in the hospital, I said, well, brother, you're going to be there with Russ. You're going to be there with Greg Evenson. I said, and you know, God is so wonderful that the friendship that he has knitted between us and also the River Pirate, you know, I don't people understand. Would you share that situation? Because I shared it and I didn't do it justice when, you know, you had the lady observer for the U.S. military. She was asleep at the switch and there was a full scale launch coming in on the East Coast. Will you share that? I want people to understand something.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I call him the River Pirate. I've also used other names. I don't always even use the same nickname because he is for real. He's older, but he's the best radio man in the world at the time and still probably is. And he's also a stone cold knock. Okay. Stone cold NSA knock, and that's all I'll just say. Now, he is somebody that right before I was getting ready to go on air one night, many of you remember this, and there was a Andrews Air Force Base, the woman operator, the radio op woman, a P-3 Orion comes on and says, I'm a P-3 Orion, I'm about 118 miles off the coast of Virginia and Maryland. I have a Russian blackjack bomber inbound towards you guys in Oceania. I need to speak to your commanding officer, and I need him to scramble jets. And the woman said, can't y'all handle that? He said, ma'am, I'm an observer plane. You need to give me your person right away. At that moment, I was getting ready to go on air. Old River Pirate told me about that. I went on air for y'all. I put that out, and I said, we need to scramble every jet on the East Coast to go in and get the barrier, the blackjack bomber, off the coast of Virginia. And by George, they scrambled doggone near everything on that East Coast. And people found out we were telling the truth back then, old Hawk and the River Pirate. Now, the River Pirate, I would just say this, the River Pirate and Greg Evenson and a lot of other people have also been to space. It ain't just all astronauts, and it ain't just all the MMB who do have spacecraft as well. And we could talk more about that, but I don't necessarily want to get that deep into it other than to say, Brother Quayle and I have known other people who have been to space, who've been on Mars, who've been on the moon, who've been on other planets, and who have flown in the big TR-3Bs, the TR-4s, and the bigger spacecraft that are part of Solar Ward and all that kind of stuff. And this is alive and real. It is for real, 100%, and we got to use these to protect us. And then I'm going to say one more thing, Steve, and you can go back and I'll take over for a second here. The Lord Jesus told me that in Matthew 24, that if you did not understand what he said in the red letters about if nothing were done about it or no life was saved, there would be no flesh left alive on the planet. He said, that is for real. You need to prepare, as in Matthew 25. And I also heard from him, you need to prepare to defend yourself, not just to feed yourself, because I believe Steve has some information about the Ezekiel War and what we're going to see maybe in this country.
Well, and again, ladies and gentlemen, the reason we're telling you this, not only was a knock, non-official cover, those of you in that world will understand that is what that is, but we were in a real-time situation, the three of us, where even the shortwave radio, when we were on shortwave, and you know, this is wild, but we were allowed to say certain things, and really evil entities thought they could sneak up on the MMVs. And let's just say this, neither Hawk nor I have ever received $1. We have received way more than that. We have received our lives covered by the blood of Jesus and by the people that are ultra black. And we don't have time to share that. But right now, this is what's blowing my mind, Hawk. It's just so critical that Egypt has decided that they are going to go into Gaza. They've got a massive military. By the way, they're the 14th largest military in the world, and they do have nuclear weapons. I've been trying to tell people that, just like Iran has had nuclear weapons. And you and I were on the air almost, 19 years ago. And remember, I was screaming about the Iranian nuclear weapons detonation that was on the Associated Press article.
Yeah.
And then those scumbags, you know, the Associated Press, they sanitized it. And just since you've been in the hospital, you know, I've had different people say, and in that world, man, we've never seen a rabbit trail away from that story like this one. They said somebody that's really powerful really pulled the string on that story. But it's not just that story, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're seeing tonight, what we're experiencing tonight, Hawk, is your very scenario that you laid out 19 years ago. And I even told Todd. Todd's our producer that has been, I think he's been my producer for 25 years, and Hawk's for 19. Again, Todd, God bless you. But the point is that we're pleading with you. And Hawk, you know, what's really on my heart, especially as you're going through what you're going through, is, brother, when Jesus takes you home, you're probably one of the most pronounced, and I would say this, provocative voices against the powers of darkness that has been on the planet for the last 20 years. Look, I don't flatter anybody, everyone, but I can tell you point blank, we can't even tell you the stories that are true, because Jesus said, if I tell you earthly things, you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? And
that's right.
And River Pirate, Oyers, all the different times that they've tried to kill him, they've tried to murder his wife, drive her off the road. I mean, these are real evil entities trying to kill a man that has been protected by the blood of Jesus, who loves Jesus, and because of his calling. And you know, Hawk, I think of this. You know, bless the Lord for our threefold friendship. Because the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And for the record, I never get tired of uplifting the name of Jesus. Jesus kept Hawk alive. He kept me alive. He's kept River Pirate alive. And he's absolutely, how should I say this, allowed us to act as salt of the earth. I want you also to explain the balloons, because you and the pirate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to do that, because, ladies and gentlemen, the biggest batch of horse manure ever laundered on all of our living rooms was the nonsense about when the Chinese balloons were, you know, oh, they were just weather balloons. No, they weren't. They were some of the most sophisticated spy equipment that exists in the world. Will you share that, too? Because, again, you had to scream, and in real time, see, the testimony will be against them. But when you've got the president lying about it, you've got the Joint Chiefs, the head of the Joint Chiefs, and when everybody's lying about it, how do the people of God know the difference between a lie and truth, except God raises up a voice for the truth? And you, Hawk, in Jesus' name, were used. River Pirate, brother, you know, I love you, man. Thank you for what you've done with us, for us. But I think it's critical that you share the quote weather balloon, because that's less than, what was it, a year ago? And the
a year, two years.
Yep, go ahead.
They, first of all, they only claimed there was one Chinese spy balloon. There was a whole bunch of them. And the River Pirate and I were exposing them up to two years ago. And he was tracking them. I was putting it out on the air. And those things were being launched off the coast of California, off the coast of Mexico. We tracked them. He tracked them in across Southern California and San Diego, all of that. And then on over, you know, in Arizona, and then down into Mexico, and then back up through Texas. Those things were being controlled. They had like a platform that was about 30 to 40 feet long that had every type of camera, every type of sensing device, microphone, every type of listening device that is known to man that could pinpoint anything and vacuum up all of the military traffic, vacuum up all of the cell phone, sat phone traffic, the whole nine yards, and that was then being broadcast back to the Red Chinese satellites, one after the other after the other. And then at one point in time, I looked at the on the map where you go sideways on the map. I forget the thing. Anyway, I forget the name. Where are you going to go? And it was headed straight to the launch at Cape Canaveral, at Cape Kennedy or Cape Canaveral, the launch of Musk or whoever it was. And I said, uh-oh, this thing is going to go do something to that space launch. We then put her out over the air. It had been down in Mexico, put it out over the air. And I asked on air, Steve, I said, will one strong-willed, true line officer in the U.S. Air Force put up a plane and go investigate that damn balloon and shoot it down? Well, they sent up some guys from Texas, from San Antonio. They went up in a reconnaissance craft. They looked at it, and they said, oh, this is just a Google balloon. And they went back home because they probably had dates at the choke and puke that night, and then did the Cotton Eye Joe at the dance hall. I came on that same night and said, no, we need one good line officer to send somebody up who's got some moxie, who's got
you can say it, who has the balls to, you know.
Balls to shoot it down. And they went up and off of a ranch outside of San Antonio. An F-35 jump jet went up. Went right up to about 50,000 feet, which is where these things cruise, over 52,000, then they're technically not in United States Air Force. They're in space. So they went up to there almost, took a look, and they fired a missile at it and blew that son of a buck out of the sky. And then we've tracked others since then, and I'll tell you what, we ain't wrong. We know they're right, and I'd give $100 to that pilot who shot that thing down if I had one, you know.
Yeah, and again, the other thing is when, ladies and gentlemen, since Michael Yon is down, obviously, in the Darien Gap, and if you haven't heard the story, two of his team were basically kidnapped by the narco-terrorists. But Michael Yon's giving you a blow-by-blow account. And Hawk, well, you've been in the hospital. Things have really accelerated with the Chinese. Do you remember when we were warning everybody? Everybody thought we were full of you know what, and they sure made it known on you know all those stupid boards like Time Bomb 2000, my opinion,
right.
And Tree of Liberty. But we had people that would actually turn their transponders off and head in to the area right across the border, and they watched, did they not, the massive amount of Chinese buildup across the border.
Absolutely. Now you remember you had the information that big white United Nations grocery trucks were taking loads of groceries across Texas into Mexico. To a new subdivision down there that had red Chinese officers and some non-commissioned officers, and then barracks and stuff for their regular troops. Well, I had an old partner down in Texas, and he looked up somebody and sent him on down below the borderline. And he sent them through the Montanas, the mountains down there. They came to a checkpoint. And that checkpoint outside was manned by the Federales. And then he was looking with binoculars down there. He could see these beautiful four-bedroom, two-bath, three-bedroom, two-bath modern homes in a new subdivision with two-car garages. And right there was the red Chinese guys in their uniforms. And they had their tanks and the different stuff down in there. Jeeps and what have you. And so he reported and made sure that was true, and we brought that back out from there.
And your memory is, you know, obviously I love elephants, but your memory is exemplary. And I, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a joke when I say Hawk knows when I said this or that, because your God gifted you with a great memory. And in that time period, look at where we're at now. I don't know if you saw it, but all the tech billionaire / you know, trillionaire managing guys, they all bowed to the Chinese Premier Xi. Gruesome Newsom, who you know, was $1 billion in the deal with masks and all that stuff, not to mention that he's, you know, probably one of the most, in my opinion, and based on what we're told, one of the most duplicitous and double-handed dealers there are. And so given that, you know, the United States basically welcomed him, he got a standing ovation. And we've got American citizens sitting in jail for doing nothing, just showing up at the Capitol. And meanwhile, I don't know if you've been watching it because you've been in the hospital. And you know, the thing is, Hawk, is there's pure anarchy, you know, against the White House. And I call it the slaughterhouse. There's pure anarchy now against Congress. And the Congress critters, they had to lock down and huddle together like a bunch of rats, you know, in my opinion. And ladies,
they only arrested one person at that one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So again, what I really thank the Lord for this. Look, Hawk, you know, I've often wondered what my last words will be on a talk radio. And if I'm taken off, well, then I'd probably have another opportunity someplace. Right. But, you know, when you were in the hospital, I said, Hawk, you know, outside of the Lord and the miracle, we're praying that you make it through the holidays. But I said, brother, and this is a true statement. You're going home to be with Jesus, and God's taking you off the battlefield that you've been on the front lines. Sorry, that you've been on the front lines for 20 years. And, the you know, Hawk, more than the Chinese, more than the all of the enemies of Jesus Christ, the biggest enemies, the biggest fight, the most hateful people that you and I have ever dealt with are claimants to be followers of Jesus. But guess what? They never use his name. Guess what? So you know, Hawk, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on with you. Because, look, brother, it's not easy to know, you know, if this is the last time I'll ever speak to you. And obviously we'll speak on the phone and stuff. But I think people need to understand that only the living God could have put you on with me 19 years ago. Only the living God and the Lord Jesus Christ would have had me pass off, you know, in essence, the doorway that the Lord had opened up. And always, 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 Hawk, and this is one thing I love about you the most, is really you've never pulled back, you've never chickened you know what it out, and you've always lifted up Jesus. And so
are in the blood of Jesus, baby. You better believe
yeah,
it.
And so you know, again, I don't know what tomorrow brings. As you and I are talking, I mean, you know, people are starting to get it. We're not on the brink of World War III. We're in it. Yet the absolute,
it is a war. It's a war right now.
You got it. And so, you know, it's so frustrating because, you know, we've got our nuke bombers up. And ladies and gentlemen, and this is something new, Hawk, that I just found out within the last 12 hours. the Middle Eastern militaries are on a 30-second launch. In other words, they've done all their pre-launch, they've done all their target acquisitions, and 30 seconds, okay? Yep. And even Russia moved from a 90-second to a 30-second. So if in your opinion, Hawk, if this thing, let me change my question. What do you think will be the key event that will push this thing over into somebody popping the first nukes? And whoever pops the first nukes, everybody else
goes all the way around the world.
Yep. Go ahead.
I don't know. I haven't identified, and I've tried to watch it somewhat, but I kind of not have been able to watch it as good as I could. But something, and I figured it might be Iran, of course. I think Iran is going to launch. I think Israel wanted to launch on Gaza, take it all out with tactical nukes and launch on Iran. And I think Joe Biden, Beijing Biden, puts a stop on it. So I think we're at that point. And I don't know who's going to do it, but I suspect Iran, or if Egypt comes into the fore, then that would do it also.
Well,
because they were the original enemy that attacked Israel.
And it's interesting because the Egyptians have given their ultimatum. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, there are people that you know, they want to know, is this the Psalm 83 war? No, it's Ezekiel 38, 39. And then one of my friends, very bright man, says, well, could they be piggybacking? I said, listen, when nukes go, you're not going to be looking back and going, now, was that really Psalm 83 or Ezekiel 38 and 39? And Hawk, we know, we've talked, we've shared real-time intelligence. And again, if God's people won't wake up, then, you know,
then there'll be no left flesh will be saved on the planet, just like Jesus said.
I know, and thank you. That's what I was searching for. But again, we're and I keep saying again and again and again and again, but the day that word ceases to be relevant, people won't have to be, you know, I mean, it's like this, okay? It's like people are sitting in a field. They think the picnic blanket and the wicker picnic basket, yeah, with cheese and, you know, wine and champagne, or, you know, let's
whatever,
face,
yeah,
it. Yeah. And they think that it's a picnic. And meanwhile, there are people in the world of Christendom, D-U-M-B, not followers of Jesus, that are saying everything's going to be better. God's going to act. This is going to be the most wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not before judgment. And you know, there's no one who's preached repentance, I believe, publicly longer than you and I have.
I'll tell you, all you got to do is go to Matthew 24 or any of the Gospels. Look up the red letters that Jesus said. Jesus does not say what you just quoted the other people saying. He don't say that. He says that if, and I can't turn to it real quick right now, but if the time were not shortened for the elect, then no flesh would be saved. But the time will be shortened for the elect. But the elect, Steve, are not the dumbass shitbirds who think they know what they're doing.
Well, and it doesn't get any blunter than that. And, you know, when you use that specific prefix to birds, see, they're not happy just to defecate in their own nest. They've got to make sure that they foul everything. They foul the pure word of the Lord. They foul the thus saith the Lord. They are foul. They are absolute, what I call, by the way, I call them cluster, you know, I call them cluster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm calling, you know.
Bleepers, you call them cluster bleepers, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and flustered clucks. If you've ever seen chickens, when, you know, they get flustered, they all flap their wings. Well, in our case, we have to deal with people that flap their lips. Okay, and you know, I got tired of it. And I know you did too. People say, well, why do you guys always deal with all the naysayers? And I said this on my program the other night, and a lot of people responded. I said, do you know how many people have ever stuck up for us? you know? And I said, me? I said, you know, Hawk? I mean, I didn't say you by name, but since you and I have been tied together and you were, in essence, I don't know anything about football, but the football was passed to you and you carried it through the goal line. And, you know, it's that how many people would sit behind the scenes and say, yeah, we're with you, brother, until it costs them something to stand up and show it. I can't think of many. I really can't. I said the other day, I think I can think of a handful, literally one hand or two hands.
Well, let me say something to that. I've been very fortunate that there has been not thousands, not, you know, anything like you think there might be, but hundreds of good people who are really on fire for Lord Jesus, who have kept me in the game, you know, and allowed me to live as the Lord Jesus would want me to live, and allowed me to be able to still take a Louisville Slugger to the Lucy's head and bongo him on every bone and head bone and shin bone and thigh bone. And so there are good people.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying, I want to clarify. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying specifically is that I'm praying that the years that you've been on talk radio, the years that you've been telling people there's power in the blood, power in the blood, the only power that's going to take any of us through what we're going to be going through is the power of the blood of Jesus. And again, I'm not talking about good people. If people weren't praying for you, people weren't praying for me, I'd be dead. You know, and so would you. If people that were in the world of ultra black, their secret that, you know, they're in essence, how can we tell people of battle on Earth when they don't believe that, let alone battle in outer space? Maybe they'll kind of think, oh, those guys are, you know, off their rockers, but it will come to pass that anything that we have spoken under the anointing and appointing of Jesus, it's going to come to pass. And then what people are going to be having to deal with is for 20 years, those who have listened to us, those who have mocked, everybody's going to be left with the decision of their own making and of their own taking. Did they take it to heart? Did they act upon it? And I got an email before we went on the air, and the guy said, tell Hawk, and this is what he told me to tell you live. He said, I've been buying cans of chunky beef soup.
There you go.
Yep. So, you know, again, it's astonishing to me. So now where we're at this time that you saw 19 years ago that you've been reading them. But, you know, I remember you got
yelling about it.
Yeah, you got a lot of flack saying, doesn't he know anything more than Matthew 24? And the Lord said, keep talking, Hawk. They still don't get it. Is that an accurate statement?
That's exactly right.
So as you see, in essence, the twilight of your ministry, as you have defined it, okay? And brother, you know, I love you. I can't keep you. Because I'm not God. And if God miraculously restores you, I'll be grateful. But I can't argue, and I don't mean this in any way that's wrong, but man, if God's going to take you home, it's to deliver you from the evil that is to come. And you know, Hawk, you've been on the front lines. God bless you for that. You've stayed true to Jesus. And most people haven't even realized there's a battle. They don't. They haven't realized it, but they're going to be thrust into the battle that we're dealing with. Is that a good statement?
Yeah, it's a war. There are battles in the war, but it's a war between good and evil, and it's already on, and that's it. Now, I'm going to say one thing here. My intention is to come back up again if I can. If there's any way I can, I'm going to continue to do my show. I can't promise you every time because the Lord is in charge of that now. Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven are in charge of that. But I tell you what, I'm going to go through just to say one more round of the chemo. Now that I was told by probably the smartest doctor I've ever talked to that there may be an 80% shot that I might get another 6 months. that would be a blessing. If I get through Christmas and maybe to the beginning of the year, then I would, that would just be fantastic. And I'm willing to go anytime the Lord Jesus takes me. And I hope he sends somebody good, like the guy that recruited me, which was the Archangel Michael.
I want you to explain that too, because you've been on record, and this is something most people don't know about you or your ministry, that, you know, you were recruited by literally one of the archangels, and you were told to deal blows against the enemy. Were you not?
Lord Jesus. Yes. I was sitting in my chair in the bedroom. My wife had just gone to bed next to me in the bed. I was sitting up in my chair. I was just kind of relaxing there for a little bit before I went to bed. And all of a sudden, it was like a portal or a window opened up on the world. And what's interesting is, not only could I see, but I could smell and hear, Steve. And I heard the most beautiful angelic language voices singing that I've ever heard ever. And then all of a sudden, then there appears an angel. And it's an Archangel Michael, and Gabriel is standing next to him. And Archangel Michael looks out and looks at me, and he's communicating to me telepathically. He said, "Are you afraid?" I said, "No." Little did I know back then. But so he then started to give me a download. He reached out and touched me, Steve. And there was so much energy in the touch that I laid down on the bed. My wife was awakened. She could see the portal and see the angel and see me lifting up off the bed by him touching me. And he gave me a total download. And then the thing that he charged me with doing, my first charge was to strike blows against the enemies of Lord Jesus. Secondarily, to warn his remnant, those with ears to hear and eyes to see, how to prepare for what's coming.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's an astonishing revelation that Hawk, and it said it changed his whole life. And I think it's important, Hawk, that people need to learn and to learn the, if you will, how God raised up, intervened, and moved in a person's life that God puts out, you know, to share the gospel. In other words, that supernatural event and further events set you on a course. But you were charged to basically get in there and duke it out with the devil.
Yeah. And then after that, about 2 weeks later, is when I'd been emailing you. You called me and then said, "I'm going to bring you up as a guest." I was in the shower. The Lord tells me, and if you don't know this, ladies and gentlemen, when Quail showers in the morning, that's when our Father in Heaven or Jesus talks to him. And he told him to put me up on air, and he put me up as a guest. And the next thing you know, here we are almost 20 years later.
And see, I love the testimony of Jesus. I love pointing people to Jesus. You and I have basically... We have a wonderful, we share a wonderful testimony, because most people would have written us off, flushed it down the train or a drain or blown us out of the water. But Jesus, he came to you, he forgave you. He came to me, he forgave me. And because, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of super hyper religious people. And, you know, you talk about the love of Jesus, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah. No, when you meet a man or a woman that has been redeemed from the guttermost to the uttermost, and they have what I would call a transformational encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's different, and they're different than everybody else. They're not better. There is no good man. There is Jesus. Even Jesus said, when someone said, "Good master" or "Good rabbi," he said, "Why call you me good? Only our Father in Heaven is good." Yep. And again, Hawk, you know, I will keep up the people up to date as you wish, as you desire, and as you want me to share. Right. But ladies and gentlemen, you heard Hawk's heart's desire that he'll be able. And by the way, it takes a remarkable woman to basically stick with Hawk and watching the things. Not that she was going to leave. That's not what I mean. But his wife went through the battle. She saw the reality of the amount of hatred. I'm talking about really evil people wanting him dead and God's marvelous deliverance. So, Hawk, all I can say is this. It is absolutely astonishing to me, and I'll turn it right back to you, that 19 years ago, you know the date, and yet here we are tonight. It's November 17th, 2023, and we're right there where you were talking about we would be during the time period.
2004, yeah.
Yep, and again, brother, thank you, and thank you. Ears will probably be listening to this. I thank you guys for what you've done, because I don't think people understand. You and I were both told by, some pretty powerful people in the MMVs, Ultra Black, that people will never know how many lives were spared, because
we warned them several times. You bet.
Yes. Yep.
Now let me say this here right now. I could use any assistance, Brother Quayle, and you can reach me at Hawk 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas 66208. I'm going to try to get back onto the internet here and answer emails, but I must have 1,000 or more of them. So I'm going to try to do them as they come in now, if I can. But God bless you, Steve. And here's another thing people don't know. You and I, nor River Pirate, have ever met in person.
Yep, never.
And the Lord brought us all together.
And to the point, you guys that are listening, that God is the one who's glorified. Hawk, love you, brother. Bless you.
I love you, man. Thanks for putting me on air, and I'm going to try to stay. God bless you all out there. Thank you. Good night.